Well, let's get right into the message here. If you already haven't grabbed your message notes, let's go ahead and grab those. And last week I talked to you about just faith and encouraging us. One of my prayers has been during this series that God really increases your faith. And as God does that, he will then increase the faith of our church. Because as you grow in your faith, it only helps the church become stronger in our call and going out to be people full of faith and people that are risk takers. So this is what we are. We identified this last week. If you're following along, you can jot it down with me this morning that we are faith-filled. Big thinking, bet the farm risk takers. This is what we are as a church, and we will never insult God with small thinking or safe living. And so the challenge is, let's go beyond where we're at, because God has so much more for you and I than just what we've seen. I don't know about you, but there is just a stir in my heart like never before in this hour that I am just so desperate to see God do more. Not only just through my life, but through our church, and to impact the city of Fort Wayne, the state of Indiana, and be a part of God's answer to a dying world in Jesus' name. And so, but we cannot do that if we just stay comfortable in the comfy confines, you know, of just what we've always known and where we've always been. God has so much more for you and I than what we've seen. And I pray this, and this has been my prayer as I've been praying over you, that God would stir something inside of your heart and life like never before and ignite a fire and a passion. Maybe it's been a while since you've been passionate about the things of God, but in this time, if you have an ear to hear, I am telling you, God is speaking, God is moving, and he's calling his church to arise like never before. And I'm telling you, for this church, we're going to be part of the answer and the solution in the world today. Can you say a good amen today, church? And so John chapter 4, I'm going to start in this verse of scripture. Jesus is hanging out with the disciples, and this verse actually comes after Jesus has a powerful moment with the woman at the well, and he talks to her about the living water that he would love to give her. But here in this verse, I want us to see that the disciples are actually very concerned about the state and where Jesus is at. So let's look at this verse here in verse 31. It says, "Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi,' or 'teacher, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?'" So they're just kind of, it's a head scratcher, because they think, man, he looks to be this way, but maybe somebody came along the way and gave him some food. And Jesus said this, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Everybody shout, "Finish his work." There's a calling for the church that we are called to carry out and finish the work that the Lord Jesus has given us in the world today. It's why a church like this is so passionate about getting in the streets of our community and not just talking about it, not just praying about it. Listen, I believe you can pray about it, preach about it till Jesus comes, but if you never actually take action in your life, how many know it doesn't mean a whole lot? And so we've got to make sure that our words are aligning with our prayers and our words and the things that we are speaking, because we want to be a church that demonstrates God's love with power, not just by what we speak. Amen? And so Jesus is saying this. He said, "Hey, my food that you don't understand is something that I want to show you what I'm talking about," because the disciples just were not getting it. And he said, while everyone else is focused on filling themselves, Jesus is saying, "I'm more focused on making sure the lives of people are impacted. So my food is coming from something that you don't see or may not fully understand, but this is my nourishment. My nourishment is when I pour my life into the life of somebody else." Think about the impact that some of you have had maybe in your life on some level relationally. I would guarantee to say that at some point during your life, a relationship impacted you in some way. Yeah, they can be negative, but think about the good ones today. Think about the coach or the teacher or the pastor or the leader or the parent who has impacted you on some level relationally, that God has called us to be that. He's called us, and that's fuel. That's nourishment. That's why, you know, there's such a buzz when you go out and serve the people of your city and serve in different capacities. Why? Because I believe you, the person that are serving, get more back. You experience more personal healing than even the person that you're ministering to. It's amazing how God always moves in both ways. But the disciples were in a place that they were just more focused on consumption, while Jesus was more focused on contributing. Jesus had an understanding that I'm not called to consume here. I'm called to contribute and make sure I'm pouring out my life and impacting as many people as I possibly can. And truth be told, this very nature goes against the core of who you are as a human being. Because who you and I are as human beings, if we get real honest, we're real sinful people. We're selfish people. I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, you have selfish tendencies. I have selfish tendencies. And so the thing about it is, you know, it's like, you know, I have three kids. One of them, Judah, just turned two a few weeks ago. I don't have to teach him to be selfish. Trust me when I tell you, the boy is selfish right now. He knows two words, no and mine. All right, so what I'm waiting for is him to encounter Jesus at a personal level and see him get saved and born again. Amen, everybody. That's going to help this daddy out, all right? And so, but here's the thing. It's a tendency, though, that we all have. It's a tendency to get selfish and to stay focused on what we want or what feels good. But if you know anything about Jesus, he's real good at calling you out of the comfy confines to a place of inconvenience. That's why I've preached this a long time, but you have got to learn to adopt the gift of inconvenience. Because ministry and ministering and pouring out your life to other people is never going to be convenient for you. Trust me, those phone calls at 2, 3, 4 in the morning ain't always convenient, but how many know they're always worth it? And I know, I don't know about you, but I want to spend my life making an impact on as many people as we can for the glory of God. Jesus said it this way. He said, hey, listen, I've got a higher calling than just to consume all the time. He said it this way. I don't have this in your notes, so you can jot it down if you want, but just very simply, Matthew 20:28, he said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. That's why when I think about what happened yesterday, that we impacted a lot of people through serving. But let me say this. Every Sunday morning that our team is serving, our dream team, they're making an impact by serving people every single week. You know, I think about it this way. Through the rest of the entire week, this is what I've told some of them. I said, what kind of eternal impact do you get to make like you get to on a Sunday morning? And this is why many of these guys on our dream team are passionate about serving and the call and the purpose of God, because they know they are serving beyond themselves to impact people and to see people come to Jesus in a powerful way. And so God is doing something. He's stirring within us, and it's something that we are very passionate about. You know, if you grew up in kind of the late 80s, 90s, you may remember, especially if you had just kind of a passion for fast food hamburgers, you may remember two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a sesame seed bun. How many of y'all remember that? Yeah. You would remember this if you were growing up in this time, because that was the promise that McDonald's gave you when you went into McDonald's, that if you ordered that Big Mac, you would get two all-beef patties, come on, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a sesame. Hey, I'm proud of you guys. That's pretty good. I didn't know some of y'all would get it, but you did. And here's the thing about it. In 1973, what changed the game was Burger King came on the scene. So Burger King comes on the scene and really flips the lid, because how many know back in the day when you ordered a sandwich, you got it exactly like you ordered it. And then you had to waste time by peeling back the bun and picking off all the different, the pickles and the onions. How many of y'all remember that? Just wave at me if you remember those days. Yeah. And it was terrible days, wasn't it? It was awful, awful, awful days. And then Burger King, thank God for Burger King, they come on the scene with a new slogan and they say, have it your way. And so all of a sudden, they said, hey, if you don't want the pickles, hold the pickles, extra cheese. Hey, your special orders, don't upset us. Bring it on. We'll take it. And all of a sudden, the consumer became the king. You think about it, 40 years some later, all of a sudden, the consumer and what you want is exactly what you and I get. And I know for some of us right now, you're feeling God right now because we're talking about food. It's just something with church people, man. They get excited. There's like a rumble in the tumble, you know what I'm saying? And so, but if you were born in the late 90s, 2000, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But trust me, this was a move of God. It was, I'm telling you, God, it changed the game. It changed everything. And so, but all of a sudden, here we are 40-some years later, and the customer is now the king, where they come in and it's exactly what they want. In fact, I heard one speaker say it this way. He said this, a company, listen to this, will promote their quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, savings, performance, experience, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money back guarantee, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trials, and free parking. Not done yet. No cash. no problem. No kidding, no fuss, no must, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden fees, no purchase necessary. No one will call on you, no payments until September. And don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classy, deluxe, custom designer, luxury, prestige, high quality, premium, one of a kind pencil holder. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. Why? Because you are that important to us. Woo! Somebody, I'll just clap for that I got through that. Amen. All right. But it's true. It's true. We've become a consumer-minded society where it's all about what we want, how we want it. Think about it. I always thought about the name iPhone. iPhone, you. It's all about you. And here's what I'm afraid of and what I feel like has happened is that that consumeristic mindset has crept into the church, the local church. And it's begun to bleed over into the church. And so in many parts of the country, you will hear people say like, well, I'm just church shopping. I'm just shopping for churches. And you know, I just can't find a good church. And I've even heard this one a lot. And I've been in the ministry a while, so I've heard this. And I know other pastors have that. Well, we just can't find a church that meets our needs. Well, until we discover it ain't about us, we're going to have a struggle finding a good church somewhere. And we've got to realize that churches are messy because people are messy and ain't nobody perfect. That's why this church doesn't exist for perfect people. It exists for imperfect people. People that are struggling like you and me that got issues and we're working this thing out together for the glory of God. Can you say amen? And so this is incredibly common, this consumeristic mindset today. And last week we talked to you about being faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm, risk takers. And we're going to be known for that. Not only are we going to be known for it, but we're going to make steps that are different than what everybody else is doing. But I like different. I like doing things different and seeing God move in just different ways in our life. And so I want to give you something today, though, that is a value of something. And I want to give this to you because it's something of one thing that we are and something that we are not. And so if you're following along in our notes, who are we? Jot this down with me this morning. We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. So I want you all to help me read this morning. Here we go. You ready? We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. I love that. And here, let me give you a verse of scripture that is just kind of backs this up. And when I was studying this week, I thought this verse was so interesting. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 out of the Message Bible says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art and grow up in Christ. Can I tell you what that verse is saying very simply? That where we're at is not where we're called to be because God has more for you and me. That, listen, you didn't just stay in fourth grade. At some point, you had to go from fourth grade to fifth grade. Okay, let me try it again. So for some of us, then we went from eighth grade, hopefully, and then we went to ninth grade. Because you can't stay where you're at. There's so much more for you. God has so much more for your life, your call, and he has so much more for the local church. But God is looking for a bunch of crazy people that are passionate about who he is, that says, I'm not just going to stay where I'm at, but I want to graduate and get to the next place in Jesus' name. Because I don't want to look down the rest of my life and see, man, I just stayed in fourth grade in the things of God all my life when God has so much more for me. Aren't you desperate for more of God? And I pray that you are. I pray that you just don't hang out in elementary and fourth grade all your life. I hope you graduate. How many know you want your kids graduating from fourth into fifth? Come on, somebody. Yeah, we want our kids to be able to grow and to move, and not just in the natural, but also in the realm of the spirit as well. But we are spiritual contributors. And our food is something that most people do not understand. That's why we get the looks that we get yesterday. Like, why y'all doing this? And we had a lot of why questions out there. And here's why, because we love you. And God has an amazing plan for your life, and we're here. And there's a church in this city. We just want you to know we're praying for you and believing God for you. But our food is to do the work of God. It's to finish the work. That's what brings us nourishment. That's what wakes us up every morning, to think about, man, what kind of impact am I making? What is the call of God for my life? Because remember, we are not called to a small commission, everybody. We are called to a great commission. It's great, it's awesome, and we need to be and continue to grow in being a great commission church. And we understand that the church does not exist for us. If you're a follower of Jesus, you recognize today that you are the church, and you have a responsibility. And we exist to bring the light and the love of Jesus into a dark and dying world. So here's what I want to do. I want to do something that I did last week in your notes, is a scale. Y'all see the scale? And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at one. One represents the really just the full-blown kind of spiritual consumer. All right, and then the 10 represents really kind of the best, and that's a spiritual contributor. And this is between you and God, not the person on your right or your left. This is just between you and God. And I liked it so much last week that I think it's kind of good to, you know, Scripture says examine your work. Really just kind of take a look where you're at in the journey and have some self-evaluation between you and the Lord. It's important as you're journeying with the Lord. And so, but I would encourage none of you to circle 10, because ain't none of you a 10. Ain't none of us in here a 10. All right, unless you have given your life and poured out your life for the sins of this world and you rose again from death and you've resurrected and you're in a place that, listen, that you, listen, bottom line, if you think you're Jesus, tap two or three people around you and ask them, and they'll tell you, don't circle a 10. All right, just know that. So none of us are 10. I just want to make sure we all know that today. All right. But let me help you figure this out, and just to kind of get real honest between you and the Lord. If you've been here for a while, and you've walked in and maybe dropped off your kids to someone that's serving you and your child, and you're not serving anywhere in the church, but you're benefiting from that, and maybe have come on a Sunday morning, maybe gotten a free bottle of water, free coffee, and at some point you consumed something free in a building that you really didn't help to ever pay for, and you've never given anything to it, and you just come and enjoy, and you benefit from that, and you've never served, you may want to circle a 2, all right? I'm giving you grace. Maybe should be a 1, but I think circle 2, all right? Just trying to be a grace giver here this morning, all right? And let me just kind of call that what it is. It's you've benefited, but you've never given anything back. And so maybe you're here. Maybe you've attended from time to time. You've went to a small group, and you kind of give. You know, when you feel like giving, you might be a 4 or a 5. You know, you got to be honest about it. I can't tell you where you're at. You need to be honest about where you feel like that you are at. But I know many people here today are an 8, are a 9. You're in a place that every time the church doors are open, man, you're here. You serve. You're passionate about God and making a difference. That some of you are serving in 2 or 3 different areas to make an impact. You're praying daily. You're believing for God to move in your life, but you're believing for God to really move in your church. You're praying for our pastors, our leaders here, and for the work of God to continue. And maybe you're in a place too, and you find yourself bringing people to church. It's one thing to invite people. It's another thing to bring people. And that's why I think bringing people, there's a culture that's grown so much in this church, and that's having a bringing culture. It's like, now you going to church with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the invite's there, but you going. I'm just picking you up. You're going. The kind of attitude. You're involved in small groups, but you're all in. And you know, man, like, this is the plan of God. Like, you get it. So much so that you've got the t-shirt, the wristband, and the bumper sticker. Like, you're in, baby. Like, you get it. Come on. Mad love for you, too. You know, like, you understand. You totally believe in the power of Jesus and what he's doing, and you believe in what God is doing in the church, and you understand that the local church really is the hope of the world. And if that's you, be real honest. You might be an 8. You might be a 9, all right? But be real honest about where you're at. In this message today, if you find yourself in a place of maybe 6 or below, man, I want to encourage you today with this message, and I pray this stirs you, and I pray that this actually really just encourages you to take the next step of faith in your life and not to settle for where you are, because God has so much more. So I want to give you 2 easy remember points that's going to help you today. The first one, jot this down today, is that God calls you to serve in his church. There is a calling. There is a responsibility to the local church that we are called to, and that is that we are called to serve in his church. If you are a follower of Jesus and you are gifted, he has called us to be set apart and to use those giftings and to serve. And a lot of people, I think the problem is they sometimes they don't understand what church is. And we have kind of, I think, this American mindset, because when I go and visit places, like, people get what the church is. So I think this is kind of an American view, that God never intended for his church to be a building. What he intended for the church to be is his people. You are the church. So we have this kind of mindset in America, says that I go to church, and I don't think it's necessarily wrong to say it, but what we need to understand is actually the church is just the building that facilitates, man, the equipping of the saints to teach and to go out, and I think those things are important. Actually, just a history fact, back in the year 313, it wasn't until 313 that Constantine actually legalized Christianity for Christians to be able to assemble together. Because previous to that, if you ever tried to assemble together as Christians, you would be killed and you would be persecuted. How many thank God for that being legalized? And how many thank God still for the freedom in our nation, everybody? Amen? And so we're thankful that we can do this. But the purpose is not to take that even for granted. It's to understand that God's mission is so important. Reaching people is so important, and we have to stay on our mark. So technically, we don't go to church. We are the church, technically speaking, all right? Romans chapter 12 says this: in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I want to kind of break this verse down to you, because I want to try to bring some definition to it to kind of help us. In seminary and in Bible college, they had an illustration to kind of help illustrate spiritual gifts, and it's called the apple pie illustration. So I want to share this with you because I think it's good, and I think it helps us. It's very simple just to understand what God is trying to say in this verse. So I just want you to imagine we're all hanging out, man. We're at a house, and there's a big old massive, come on, apple pie. I have no idea why I keep talking about food today, but here I am again. It's apple pie. I know some of y'all today, you going to Kroger, get you some apple pie. Thank you, Jesus, all right? But I want you to imagine that the apple pie is maybe sitting on the counter and I'm not paying attention. All of a sudden, the apple pie dumps on my lap. I mean, no, it's a bad day, all right? And so the gifts that are in operation, if you're a person that would see that and that happen, and you begin to come to my aid, you got some towels, and man, Kyle, I've got this. Let me help you clean that up. We're going to make sure everything's well. We're going to make sure you're taken care of and clean it off the carpet and everything. And you're kind of a person that enjoys the behind-the-scenes stuff. You may have a real gift of serving. That may be your call. Maybe you're in a place that you recognize, man, the apple pie has been lost. This is a problem. So much so, it's a problem that you realize, okay, I'm going to go out and buy us like 10 of those bad boys, make sure we all taken care of today, all right? And so if that's you and that's your heart, you may have the gift of giving. For some, you may be in a place that if that was you in that moment, hey, we need to get several towels, several of you. We need you to come on over here. You're a little bossy at times. And then you say, hey, let's clean this up as quickly as we can. And hey, you know, man, the brother giver over here is going to hook us up with some more. All is well. We're going to continue to move forward. If that's you, all right, you may have the gift of leadership. Or maybe you're in a place that you saw that happen and you say, you know what, Kyle, hey, just be encouraged. We're going to get this cleaned up. It's all good, man. It's all good. We've got the help. There's more on the way. And I just want to, just to let you know, man, I'm with you. It kind of happens to us. So just be encouraged. You may have the gift of encouragement. Or here's a gift that I like too, is that person that's so empathetic. Come on. Thank God for these people. Because in the tough times, you need somebody that can sympathize with you. Amen, everybody? That says, man, Kyle, it happens to me all the time. You know, man, things like that dump on my lap, and man, I'm so sorry that happened to you, and you know what, whatever we can do to get you some, you know, maybe a new pair of pants, we'll hook you up, and just, man, just so sorry, but I'm here with you. I'm not going to leave your side until this is cleaned up. How many know they may have the gift of kindness working in action? Or maybe it's a person that calculates things. Well, you know, Kyle, if you didn't have it sitting on the edge, and you kind of understood where it was sitting at, and that wouldn't have happened. And so what we need to realize is when the next other apple pies come in, that we need to be real careful about how we sit them. If that's you, you may have the gift of teaching, all right? Or you just may be a black and white type of person. You call it like it is, and you just say you think whatever you think, and you just tell it like it is and say, well, Kyle, you know, here's the bottom line. You were wrong, all right? It should have been further on the counter. You should have took other people's thoughts in consideration, because now nobody has some pie. All right, if that's you, you might have the gift of prophecy. All right, it just might be in motion. All right, but nonetheless, there's gifts in every single one of you that God has distributed so faithfully. And I want you to see it in this verse, Ephesians 4:15. But listen to me, when you read this verse, this is what you've got to get. You've got to see yourself in this verse, what I'm getting ready to read. All right, if you're ready, shout, I'm ready. All right, good, church. Here we go, verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's the ultimate goal. We want to be more like Jesus, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body, look at this, fit together perfectly. Look at this now. As each part does its own special work, he's talking about you. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Look at this. So that the whole body, the church, is healthy. Look at this, three things. Healthy and growing and full of love. Keep that verse up there. Think about it. When every person does their part, uses their gift and serves in the church and helps, three things take place. Health happens, growth happens, and the love of the church grows. You want to know why? Because it's not on just a few people to do it. It's on the church. You, the church, understand this is my responsibility. This is my call. I can't make excuses anymore. I realize this is the call that I've got to use my gift of kindness, or I got to get my serve on and go impact the lives of people for the glory of God. God wants to use your gifts. He wants you to use them and to make an impact for the glory of God. You know, I think so much about our dream team and the impact that they all make. We've got some incredibly selfless people. And I wanted to highlight just a few this morning, just so you can hear their story here today. The first one is Hayden. Like, Hayden is a guy, and there he is, all right? But let me tell you something about Hayden. Hayden's been here for about a year and a half or so. And man, this guy is amazing. He serves in the parking team. He also serves on the setup and teardown team for Growth Track, Kids Ministry, and special events. So much so that the leaders and many people on the dream team have a really cool nickname for this guy. And the nickname is the Incredible Hulk. Like, this guy can carry like 20 of you on his back, I promise you. I'm telling you, like, at least, okay, maybe 18 or 19, but, you know, it's somewhere in there. And he's just amazing. And the thing about this guy is every time he serves, our leaders tell me this too, and I've heard him say, I mean, just thank you for the opportunity to serve and to make a difference. Because this is a guy, too, that, I mean, you know, came in a place that just wanted to make an impact. That was his heart. He said, I just want to be a part of a church where I can just be a part and just serve and make an impact. And I think it's awesome to see what God's doing. Here's another guy in our church, Ray. Ray's pretty awesome. He, you see his face. He's awesome. He's been here for a little over 3 years now. Man, you talk about the gift of encouragement, the gift of serving. Man, this man of God just models it so well. And, you know, as he's known the Lord and has just been an example to our church and to the people, he actually won our People's Choice Award at the Dream Team party, man, for like Dream Teamer of the Year. Isn't that awesome? Very, very cool. And so we love him and appreciate his example. And another one is one of our students. I'm so proud of her. She's 15 years of age. This is Jocelyn. Jocelyn, it's awesome, man. Jocelyn has been here for almost a year. She got saved in this church. She got baptized in this church. And now she serves on our production team and serves in our kids ministry. And the leaders tell me she's one of the best they've got on the team. And I think that's awesome, everybody. I think it's awesome at a young age, man, that they're getting it. And she's actually serving today. I didn't plan that. She didn't know that, but there she is, you know. And so here's the deal, though, guys. What these three people understand, and many other dream teamers, is that they are the church and that they are called to make a difference. And for every Jesus follower, God has called us to serve and to be active in his church. Can you say a good amen today? So on the first Sunday of August, coming up in a few weeks, we have our growth track. And if you know and you're feeling this, man, God's telling me it's time to step in and get apart. Our growth track helps the assimilation process, not only to help you understand what it looks like to be a member, but also just to jump in and let us help you find your gift. That's the whole purpose of a growth track too, is we take a Sunday in that, just 4 Sundays, to help you find your gifts and your purpose and go live it out for the glory of God. I think it's awesome to have a church that doesn't just talk about it, but believes in people enough to have an assimilation like that and make it available. I think that's life-giving, everybody. Amen? Amen. So God wants us to use our gifts. So our first thought was God wants us to serve in his church. And here's the last one, number two. God calls you to serve as his church. Not only does he call us to serve in his church, but to serve as his church. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine for people to see. You know, that was our prayer yesterday as our light was being demonstrated, and our prayer on Sunday mornings is when people see us in action, that, man, they understand there's a genuineness to the call and what we're doing to serve, that it's not just we're here to fill a need. We've got a call and a mandate that we understand. Wherever capacity that we may be serving is not based upon a need in the church. It's based upon my call and my gift, because that's part of the growth track, that we help assimilate people into the areas of their gift. But my question is, how many people know that you are a Jesus follower? I want you to think about that for a minute. How many people know that you're a Jesus follower? Are you different? Do you stand out? And I'm not saying you got to have a loud mouth and go everywhere, but that you demonstrated that people notice that your light is shining. And because when that happens, when you're not engaging in nasty jokes that's going on maybe in the workplace, trust me, there's going to be somebody that's going to notice. Man, I noticed, like, you don't joke like that. Like, you're not gossiping like everybody else does in the workplace. Like, what's up with you? And you know what? Then you get to talk about, man, let me tell you why my God is so awesome. Let me tell you why my God is so cool. Can I share it with you? You know, and it's amazing the opportunities that God begins to give us. But let me tell you a thought that I had. I've had this yesterday, and I have this. Let me just tell you, man, I feel the weight of this, because when I drive in our city, this is what I think about, everybody. I'm just telling you, man, I'm trying to preach this like I feel it today so much. Because when I drive around oftentimes in this city, I think about this one question. I thought, God, if Elevate City Church were to close its doors today, would anybody in our city know, and would anybody care? My question is, what kind of impact are we going to have, everybody? This ain't a Kyle Mills vision. This is God's vision, everybody. I just signed up to serve along with you. Why? Because I'm passionate about reaching a city that needs Jesus. And say, man, but don't we have a lot of other churches? You know what? What you may not know, in the last year, we have had more churches shut down than we even do starting in this city. And it's not been good. Many of us pastors are even getting together. Why? We need a move of God. We need health in the church. And you're part of that. You're part of that Ephesians work that God talked about. You know, I have a vision for Pete, for our church, that is greater than what we see today. I have a vision for a church that loves others more than we've been loved. I have a vision for people who serve others more than we've been served. I have a vision for our church that gives more than we have received. I have a vision for a group of people that loves and accepts people right where they're at, but loves them enough to point them to a Jesus who can bring forgiveness and healing and freedom to their life and make them new. I have a vision for a church where every single person in the body of Christ sees themselves as a part of the body of Christ. A church that no one just comes and just consumes, but they recognize we are his church, and I've got gifts and I've got a calling, and I cannot, after all that God has done for me, just sit back and consume and not contribute. I'm telling you, God is awakening things in his people and in his church. I have a vision for a group of people that serve in the church and as the church, so much so that if our church were not in the community, the people would be mad at us. That they would say, man, they were doing so much. They were making such a difference. Even if they don't believe in the Jesus that we believe in, they could not deny that he has impacted our lives and that what we believe is real. We believe that God has called us to something more than a consumeristic, self-centered mindset. We are not spiritual consumers, everybody. This is a church that we are called to be spiritual contributors, because the church does not exist for us. Who are we? We are the church, and we exist for the world. Can you say that with me? We are the church, and we exist for the world. We are the church. We are the answer to what God is wanting to do in this hour. And I am confident about God's plan and his purpose. And every single one of us sitting in here, I'm telling you, God has got greatness on the inside of you. Even if you don't feel it, see, I'm telling you, there is something more to your life than what you've seen. And there's more ahead. We are the church, and we exist for the world. God is calling us to step out from consumerism into a place of contributing. And this isn't because we need a rally cry for teams. This is because it's our call, everybody. This is our call. My responsibility to you as your pastor, to see those things stirred up in you, and let's go save thousands for Jesus. Come on, let's make the greatest impact with whatever we have left, time that we have left. We don't know, but let's give Jesus our everything. Can you say amen in the house today? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand, everybody. Amen. So let me pray for you. Bow your heads where you're at. And here's what I want you to do is you bow your heads right there where you're at. Just open up your hands right there. Because God, I'm praying right now for every single person in this place that they receive this call and mandate and hear. They don't hear my voice, that they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. That they are hearing the nudging of God and the wooing God. That it's time to step out from a place of consuming to a place of contributing. And right now in Jesus' name, I just break fear off you, intimidation off you in the mighty name of Jesus. Declare that has no hold on your life. That God has an amazing plan for you and the best is yet to come. And so Lord, I pray that you would use this message today to stir, not just within our heart, but stir us to action in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, as every head is bowed, if you're here in this place and Jesus is not Lord of your life, I'm talking Lord of everything. And maybe that's been part of the problem and the struggles you've been trying to stay in charge when God is saying, let me lead. For some of us, we need to make a decision today for Jesus to really step for real in our life, step into a relationship with him, and let's trust God to begin to work. For some of us, it's beginning that relationship for the first time, and for some of you, it's coming back into that relationship with him again. All over this place, with every head bowed, all eyes closed, just for this moment, I ask you, please, say, Kyle, that's me. I want you to throw your hand up in the air. Come on, right now, all over this place. Maybe you say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Awesome. Thank you. So anybody else that says, that's me. That's me. I need to do that. Thank you for those hands. Awesome. Awesome, man. Thank you. We're going to pray here in just a moment. I want you to just pray this prayer after me. But Father, I'm just believing, moving us today. Moving us today. Come on, pray this prayer after me. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new. I give my life to you. I believe Jesus died for me so that I can live. Fill me with your spirit, that I will know you and serve you with my life. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe it and receive it today, let's give Jesus the highest praise. Come on, let's give him a hand today. Come on, we bless you, God. We bless you, God.